www.ctrc.org.
Hi, friends. I'm Pearson Cross, the host of Bayou to Beltway. Today we are interviewing Marshal Reggie Thomas, who, of course, is Marshal-elect in Lafayette City. Marshal Thomas has a lengthy law enforcement career. He was born in New Orleans. He went to St. Augustine High School, go Purple Knights. He joined the military. He was in the Air Force for 9 years and then went into the reserves. He got interested in law enforcement, working first with the Orleans Parish Sheriff Department before, in 1990, moving to Lafayette City Police. At Lafayette City Police, he became all the way up to Deputy Chief of Police. He served for 29 and a half years and then ran for marshal in the for the open seat in a very competitive election that he came out on top. Welcome to the show, Marshal Thomas.
Thank you so much, and thank you for having me, Mr. Cruz.
Absolutely. You've had a long and distinguished career in law enforcement. So you're in the Air Force, you've served a while, you get out, and you decide to get on with the Orleans Parish Sheriff Department. What first attracted you to law enforcement and criminal justice?
Well, while in the Air Force, I had many friends that were military police, and I was introduced to police work while I was in the military. I used to ride with them and just ride around the campus pretty much area and just help out. I was interested. I came back to New Orleans and I joined the Orleans Parish Sheriff's Office. When I joined the Orleans Parish Sheriff's Office, I was put in corrections, and I knew corrections was not for me. It was not a type of job that I wanted to as a career. So I decided at that time to look around the Louisiana and see what law enforcement agency I would like to apply with. And Lafayette Police Department was, at that time in 1990, was definitely the best police department in the state.
Interesting. Now, corrections would be associated with jails or prisons. Is that right?
Yes, that's mm-hmm. right. That would be working in the jail. Mm-hmm. Pretty much you're in the jail for 12 hours. It was 12-hour shift, so you was in the jail for 12 hours a day.
Well, that sounds, I can understand why you might not like that, although I guess some people do. So that's great. So you came to Lafayette, and then initially you just were a deputy or something, or you were, what do they call it when you're a kind of entry-level police person? You had to go through the academy, or had you gone through that with New Orleans?
I went through a corrections academy through New Orleans. So I had to go through an academy when I came to Lafayette. It's called a patrol officer. So once out of academy, I became a patrol officer and patrolled the streets of Lafayette mm-hmm. for my first year.
Did you now you were with the Lafayette Police Department for nearly 30 years. So what were some of the different things you did during that time? Obviously, you didn't stay in exactly the same spot all those years, right?
No, not at all. One of the things I did when I came to Lafayette Police Department, I decided that this was going to be a career. So knowing that, I wanted to try to go to every section possible. So I started off in patrol, then I went to narcotics. After narcotics, I went to a field training officer. That's when you're instructing officers how to be police officers and training officers. And then I found my niche. My niche was in detective work. I was in detectives for about 10 years. During that time, I handled most of the persons, what we call person cases, which is like murder cases and robbery cases. And then after that, I became a supervisor, and I started working in a supervisor level.
Interesting. So most people have a lot of experience watching detectives work, do their thing on TV. So is that the way it is? You spend a lot of time recovering from hangovers and smoking cigarettes and cursing and you know, then roaring around the streets after a hot tip?
Not quite like that, but I would tell you the last part is right, a hot tip. You have to have the community have to trust you. So you have to be involved in the community. You cannot solve a case unless somebody gives you some type of tip. So I found that early on. And another thing I was really good at was communication skills. You know, you probably heard of interrogation and actually interviewing. I like to call it an interview, people to try to get a confession. I was really good at speaking with people and getting a confession in major crimes.
Interesting. Now, you know, we've heard a lot about interviewing or interrogation coming out of the things in the Middle East, and the data seems to suggest that violence and threats and torture doesn't work very well, but gaining trust and communication, empathy, those things do. Was that borne out in your particular experience?
Yes. My experience was where I grew up at was not one of the better areas in New Orleans. So I understood where a lot of people was coming from, and I could relate to people. And if you can relate to someone and someone has trust in you, then someone will tell you exactly what you need to know. But you have to be able to relate to that person. So I did a great job in relating to people in different types of communities.
Right. So you found as a detective that communicating with people, building trust, doing those kinds of things was effective actually for your police work.
Yes. And, you know, a lot of people grow up in different types of situations. And when you put yourself, when they realize that you have been in that situation, and it's not always about trying to get people a lot of time in jail. A lot of times it's about helping people if you can. So I was always reaching out and maybe not helping you with this crime, but helping you in other different ways, like with family matters and you know, seeing your child and doing things like that, if I could help with that. All that was a part of solving that case. And, I was really, really good at communicating and really good at interviewing people to get the case solved.
That's interesting. You found your natural area and talent. But then, of course, that leads to my next question, which is, okay, so you're really good at using your skills and developing your skills with regard to being a detective, but then you decide to go into supervision. What led the move up into supervision? Was it they were going to pay you more money, or was it something else?
Yeah, well, pay always helps. But, you know, I'm very competitive. I wanted to be a leader. I knew I was going to be a leader from when I started at the police department. You know, it's some people like the lead, some people like the follow. You know, it's really nothing wrong with either way. But I knew I wanted to be a leader. So that means that I had to make rank. So early on, once I became the training director, which was a very important job in police work because you had to train 289 officers. You know, so I started being a training office, the training director, and I realized that not only did I want to be a leader, but to be a leader, I had to be trained also. So I applied for the FBI National Academy and was accepted in that academy.
Hmm. What did you learn at the FBI National Academy?
Well, you know, what the FBI National Academy does is bring people together, leaders. You have to be at least a lieutenant or above, and it's from all 50 states. It's either even people from international areas. So it brings everybody together. And I would tell people this: the most important thing, we learn together how to be leaders. You know, different people had different experiences, so we talked about different experiences. You know, we had great instructors that taught us different types of leadership practices. And I those type of things, I was able to bring back to the Lafayette Police Department just and knowing so many people, you know, being able to reach out when we have an issue that we might have never saw, but New York has saw, New Jersey. And I have people over there where I can call and find out exactly what did they do and make sure we do best practices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great thing to do. Listen, let's talk about at some point you decided that you wanted to run for the Lafayette City Marshal position. What was attractive about this position to you, and why did you decide to jump over from the police department where you were doing quite well?
Well, I was about to make going on 30 years, a new administration came in, and every time a new administration comes in, changes happen. So I knew I was close to retirement. This position, the city marshal, was open. What I wanted to do was I wanted to be able to head an agency where I can work with the community. I felt I was doing so much with the community. I initiated the community relations board. I initiated the community walks, and we was doing so much. And with that, well, the police department was starting to get trust back to the police department with the community. And you see these type of things because we were solving more cases. We were getting more tips. And I think when it was time for me to retire, the community really reached out, and a lot of people said, look, it's too early for you to retire. So the city marshal's office is an area where I can use that platform to continue to work with the community. And that's what I'm about, working with the community.
Now, it was a very heated race, and probably the race for marshal was, at least among the local races, the premier event. Although not to disparage some of the judge races, which were also quite contested. There was initially four major candidates, all, people of quality and who with legitimate credentials. And then it narrowed down to you and Kip Giudice. And then finally, you came out on top. So any idea what that margin of victory, which was fairly narrow, but what was the key to your victory over Mr. Giudice?
I think the key to my victory was putting out my qualification, also working in this city for the last 30 years. You know, we walked my campaign, people say about a grassroots campaign. That was my campaign. We walked, we knocked on doors. With COVID going on, it totally changed everything you was able to do. You could not do meet and greets. And the type of things that normally is done. So we went to push cards and stuff out at people, and we talked to people. You know, I tell people all the time, one of the things I learned is standing in front of the Super One, helping people with their bags and giving them your cards are the best thing to do. I think I got so many votes from people just seeing how hard I was working and helping them put their groceries in their car.
Isn't that something? That's key to victory. You've heard it here. So as you move to what are the various areas now? Lots of people are understandably a bit unclear about what exactly the marshal, Lafayette City Marshal, does. So what does the marshal do?
City marshal really does three things. One, security for the court, for city court. Make sure the judges, make sure all the people that come into court are all safe. So all the security for the city court building. Also, the civil orders, stuff like evictions, garnishments, and they deliver civil subpoenas. And lastly, they deal with the criminal aspect of orders from the judge as far as bench warrants and arrest warrants. City court does not have jury trials. So only the judge, they only have judge trials. And it's all misdemeanor cases, you know. But one big thing with city court that you'll see that I really will be working on, and that's domestic violence situations. City court does handle first offense domestic violence, which I think is so important because it's the first offense. I think that's people that I can seriously work with. And my hope is it's your first offense, it'll be your last offense. So we'll be looking at other programs and other things that we can do as the city marshal and as the city marshal's office and with the judges to see what we can do with domestic violence. Because of COVID, it has really went up also. And in the past, I've worked with domestic violence and wrote grants for domestic violence situations. So that's something that I would definitely be working on with.
Interesting. So I noticed that. Let's talk about domestic violence just a little bit. So has that increased, do you think, with COVID and people spending more time indoors? I mean, certainly people, economically speaking, have been harder up. They've had less money. There's more strain as people worry about paying their bills, feeding their kids, and so on. Do you think that's had an increasing effect on domestic violence?
Yes, 100%. I look, if I was taking a test, I would say all of the above. You did all of the above. Because what happened is a stressful time. And, you know, a lot of times people don't know how to relieve stress, and being locked in a house together and financial issues and kids out of school is just a whole lot. So, you know, we have been doing the same programs at City Court for the last 27 years, and it's a domestic violence program where you go once a week. You know, I think it's time for us to look at that, and there's other things that we can do. And the biggest thing I think is that we need to work with the victim better. You know, we're always looking at the abuser and we're doing things with the abuser, but then the victim goes home. I think we have to provide more programs and things for the victim. So that's what I am concentrating on, and you'll see during my term that I'll be working a lot with domestic violence because I think it's more than needed in Lafayette.
Right. The longtime marshal, and by the way, if you just tuned in, we are talking to incoming marshal-elect Reggie Thomas, who won a tight and hotly contested race to become the next marshal in Lafayette. So we've been talking about his plans for the office as he steps into this position. The previous, the long-serving Earl Picard, of course, focused on one of his major preoccupations was drunk driving. So you had said early on that one of your preoccupations was building trust, and particularly in the Lafayette Police Department. Is that possible to build some trust with regard to the marshals and the city court?
Yes, I think, especially the city marshal, I think we have to put a new face on the city marshal. You know, we are aware of what took place with the city marshal, with Marshal Brian Pope, you know, and that's in the past. You know, this city marshal's office has been doing an outstanding job. You know, of course, I will get there and I'm looking at different, nobody handles things the same. So I will be reorganizing and making sure that we're handling everything we're supposed to handle. But, you know, as a city marshal, I believe in using this platform to do more. You know, city marshals have in the past been almost a lot of people ask, you know, what do a city marshal do? You know, and a lot, and I get that a lot, and I explain what they do. Well, I will tell you that after my term, I don't think you're going to be asking that no more, because we're planning on being in the community, and I plan on continuing with the community relations board, continuing with the community walk, and of course working with all the other agencies, the city police and the sheriff's department. I think if everybody comes together, I think law enforcement can be in the best place it ever has been in Lafayette.
Well, I was wondering about some of your programs. So you would like to increase trust. You would like to focus a bit more on the victim, particularly in domestic violence. One of the things that's interesting to me as I was looking at what the marshal actually does is that when you go out, when a police is called and you go out to a particular incident in a home or on the street or whatever, typically someone has notified the police to come out and take care of it. But with a marshal, typically it's not. It's you're following up on an action initiated in city court. So when you go out, and we mentioned some of those really difficult things like serving civil orders and writs like eviction notices and judgments and subpoenas, you're walking into a situation where the people there haven't reached out to you and said, please come to my house and hand me that subpoena, right? So how do you diffuse those kind of situations? Do you have some ideas about that?
Yeah, that's why training is so important. At the beginning, one of the things I said we will be doing is we're going to be training more with the Lafayette City Police because we have to be on the same page. You know, a lot of times we call the city police to back us up or they call us to back them up. And if we're training differently, then we're not on the same page. So I found in the past being at the city police for the last 30 years, we might we all are well trained, but we need to be on the same page. So you'll see that going on. I want my marshals to treat everybody with the utmost respect. I don't care who it is. You treat them with respect. And I think that in itself is half your battle is won right there. You know, people know why we're there and why we're coming there. So we do specific training. You know, we have somebody at the U.S. Marshal's office that we do training with them also. So, you know, I think training is key. And I think long as my officers and my marshals remain trained, I think we won't have any issues as far as delivering any papers or dealing with any individuals. And, you know, it's just a matter of doing your job and doing your job very professionally.
Well, that raises some interesting questions. So I would assume that the deputy marshals in Lafayette City are at-will employees, kind of like the sheriff's people. So they're not civil service employees. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So that means that essentially you have hiring and firing ability with these employees. Is that correct?
Yes, I do.
So here you are. You're coming in, and you are hoping to institute a new levels of trust and make sure that you refer to them as my marshals. So I'm assuming, and perhaps correct me if I'm wrong, that you're going to have to do some evaluation to find out which marshals are really well suited to be your marshals and which have the proper attitude and respect and the things that you're training that you're looking for. Is that also correct?
Yes, it is.
Have you thought through that? I mean, are you going to be interviewing the people, the staff as you come in? Do you already know most of the staff? How are you going to process that? How are you going to make them your marshals?
If you notice, I did a transition team. And one of the things with my transition team, that's going to be the first thing we do is look at the type of program and the type of direction we want to go in. So in doing that, we're also going to look at the type of deputy marshals that we want. You know, I'll tell anybody, I don't go there looking to get rid of anybody, but you have to understand what we want or what I want, and you have to be on board. So as long as you're on board, you have nothing to worry about as far as employment. But, you know, we have to have the right deputies. We have to have, and we will be looking and talking to deputies and going through personnel files just to make sure that we're not coming in with anybody who have issues or who has problems. We want our people to be professional, respectful, and somebody who can handle the community and somebody well-trained. And if you fit that category, then you have nothing to worry about at all. I am not going there to try to get rid of anybody, but I am going there to make the city marshal a better place and put a better to make sure that they're doing a better job than in the past. Just make sure that we all are on the same page. And if we all are on the same page, then we will have no issue at all.
Well, of course, it's some of the things that you do, that your office does, are inherently conflictual in terms of subpoenas and evictions. So perhaps you mean keep those things to a minimum or keep them within bounds or things. You know, I want to take a slightly different tack here. You were the first African-American elected to any citywide position in Lafayette. Lafayette is a majority white city. Does this pose a challenge for you as the first in hopefully what will be a long line of people of all colors and races elected?
Yeah, let me start by saying how proud I am of Lafayette. Lafayette City came out and they looked at the person with qualifications and they listened to me. It wasn't a situation where they looked at my color and say, well, no, we're not voting. It's obvious that they had to listen and look at qualifications. 30 years I've been in this city, working hard in this city, serving this city. So I think that really paid off, and I think they have confidence in me. So one of the things that I would do, and I said earlier, is I want to use this platform to show other, especially minorities, kids and everything. I want to mentor some kids and just show people that, hey, you can get to this level. And I don't think that the city will be a challenge as far as me being a minority. I really don't, because I think that they will look at my qualifications and my time that my 30 years that I have here, and the way that I will run my department, I think will be professionally, with respect and with transparency. And I think that's what Lafayette City wants to see, and I think that's what they want to see with me.
Well, I do have to say that you are following, of course, the transition of the administration of Marshall Bryan Pope was, of course, fraught with all kinds of really difficult problems. So was there a lesson there for you in the Bryan Pope fiasco, if I can call it that, in terms of running the department?
Yes, transparency is the lessons that I learned. To be honest with you, if you're opening up your agency and you have nothing to hide, then it should be transparent. So I think one of the issues that I have to do is rebrand the Marshall's office, and that's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna rebrand the Marshall's office to the point where it's gonna be all about the community. You know, we're gonna have a cook team. We're going to be out in the community. We're going to make people know who the Marshall's office is, but a better Marshall's office, a Marshall's office with a better face. And I think that we can do that, and I think we will do that quicker than people think we will do that because we will be working with the community. We'll be working with the judges, and we'll just be working with all law enforcement agencies. So I'm excited about the city Marshall's office and what we can do with the Marshall's office going forward.
There are a couple of things about the Marshall's office. Now, your office is really about a tenth the size of the Lafayette Police Department. So
yeah,
you get to develop a very close relationship, I'm sure, with all the officers there. Are you looking forward to management? You've managed a really large police department. Are you looking forward to managing a much smaller group?
Yes, I am. One of the things that I do is I also write grants, and I think that we can get some grants in, and I think we could do so much more. You know, with a large agency, if you get a grant in, you have so many different areas that you have to put the funds in. I think with this agency, I think that we can put funds in certain areas and put funds out to the community and just do specific things. So I'm looking forward to working with a much smaller group, and I'm prepared. You know, this budget here is $2 million. The budget that I was working with Lafayette City Police was $33 million. So I understand the budget, and I understand how the budget is LCG budget. So it's the same format that I was using at the Lafayette City Police Department. So it's goals and objectives. Nothing changes. It's $2 million. So, you know, that budget pretty much, we know where it goes. So any additional dollars we have to get, you know, I'm looking at doing grants and other ways of getting additional dollars that we will put into the community and do things for the officers as far as equipment and training.
Well, that certainly sounds wonderful. We've been talking this morning with Marshal-elect Reggie Thomas. Marshal Thomas, thanks for being here on the show, and we certainly wish you luck in your new position.
Thank you. I appreciate being asked to come. I just want everybody to look at the Marshall's office, where it's at now, and where we're going to be at in a year. You know, one of the biggest things I want to do is get the office back accredited. You know, accreditation is the golden standard in public safety, and it pretty much gives you a guidelines of the directives that you should follow. The city police is accredited, the sheriff's office is accredited, and the city marshals will be accredited also.
Excellent.
So I thank you for having me today and speaking to me, and I'm excited about being elected for the city marshal's office. And I just want to thank everybody in Lafayette for voting for me and supporting me.
Absolutely. Well, we're excited that you're taking over this institution. Thanks so much, Marshall.
Thank you.
Bayou to Beltway is copyrighted by KRVS for the private use of its audience. Any other use of any portion of this program without written consent of KRVS is prohibited. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of KRVS, its officers, or members. To listen to a podcast of the interview we just heard, go to krvs.org.
This program was made possible in part by contributions to KRVS Public Radio from listeners like you.
Enjoy Zydeco Blues and Old School R&B on the Zydeco Stomp, Saturdays from noon to 3, only on KRVS 88.7 FM and online at krvs.org.
This is KRVS 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles.